Empire Broadcasting presents The Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcast.
Good afternoon and welcome to Empire Broadcasting. I'm your host, Muriel Donnelly, and this afternoon we have a wonderful lady with us. She is a returning guest of ours. She is the owner and psychotherapist at Oakley Ogden LLC from Denver, Colorado. Welcome back to the show, Oakley Ogden. Welcome back to the show, Oakley. Now, for all our listeners out there, just to remind you that this is session 5 of a 10-part entitled Conscious Talk series. So this is the fifth part of the series. Now, Oakley, last week we were talking about basically, just towards the end of the year, the beginning of the new year, we were talking about how we can go ahead and choose love over judgment. So that's what we dealt with last week. Now we're right on the cusp of the new year. Christmas has come and gone. I think for a lot of people out there, the new year's team seems to be a lot less stressful. And I was wanting to try and see if today maybe we could talk about a little bit about maybe something that was very interesting to me on your website, which everyone you should go and visit, it's oakleyogden.com. You were talking about how you use Western psychology with Eastern philosophy. And that intrigued me a lot. And I think it's such a great base to move forward in 2017. And it just brings to mind so much culture and I don't know, just like enlightenment and being one with yourself. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. You're bringing up my favorite topic. I almost became a therapist just so I had something to, an avenue to talk about all this other stuff that I love about Eastern philosophies and different tools that came from the East that we now implement so readily in the West. Sometimes we don't even know how deeply seated they are in traditions outside of our borders. It's funny you brought that up, Muriel, and so perfect because the Wall Street Journal just came out with an article about looking at CEOs, effective leadership in CEOs, and they determined that one of the leading characteristics in effective leadership was quote-unquote centeredness. I actually have this article. I literally just started reading it before our show. And I want to quote it here. It said, our research did identify one skill that stood out above all others as essential to effective leadership, one that the best CEOs tend to possess or develop. It is the ability to choose how to respond in stressful situations or centeredness. The ability to choose how to respond in stressful situations. And I just think, wow, what a complex sentence to tease apart. First of all, what we have choice around how do we choose to respond when things are stressful, because I think most of us live inside of like, this is how I react, and it's stressful, and that's how I react, and everybody just better deal with it. But we think about effective leadership and all the different ways that people could respond when, it all hits the fan. That has such an ability to impact not only family and ourselves, but also our companies. I don't specifically go out and coach companies. Of course, I have tons of colleagues who do. However, it's when I had a client who asked me if I would work with her and help drive her business forward, I said, sure. And a year and a half later, she had won the Verizon Prize and was on, Verizon commercial. And it was all very successful in the business stand front. But what people didn't know is that she also healed her relationship with her sister, who she hadn't spoken to in 7 years. And she reestablished her relationship with her sons in a whole new way. So when we take on something around how to remain centered, and I'm going to talk about those Eastern philosophies in a few seconds, I just want to point out that whether we take it on for our company or whether we take it on for ourselves or whether we take it on for a spouse because we know the way we're behaving just isn't making the relationship work, it affects everything. And I think it brings us back to the age-old, how we do one thing is how we do everything. And when we can start to hold ourselves to that, our lives become very, very powerful and very influential. And we become very responsible for our state in every moment. So having said all that, all the context to the Eastern philosophies that I work with, wow, what a journey. So I'm starting a book this year. It'll probably be out in 2018, maybe after that. And it'll share a lot of the tools and the stories and kind of the magical, crazy, wild journeys that I've been through physically through the East. I've lived and been in India many, 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 many times and studied with an extraordinary global humanitarian and master of enlightenment and energy healer who took me to India many times and who's taught me over the last decade, really helped me to coalesce all the tools that I was gathering and really gave me like the centerpiece to my work and my personal evolution. And what it all comes down to, there are so many different techniques, there's so many extraordinary tools, and I teach them all, and I love sharing them. But what the number one thing that I want to drive home today is meditation. That is just the number one thing. And I think that just like yoga, it can be an overwhelming idea if you've never done it. Because, you know, people say, oh, I tried yoga and I didn't like it. And I said, well, what kind of yoga did you try? Oh, the room was 110 degrees, you know, I sweated, this and that. And I was like, well, that's right. One tiny, tiny expression of yoga. You know, first of all, yoga is a philosophy. It's not even an asana practice, first and foremost, in the East. And here we've made yoga become just an asana practice, just a movement practice. And most of us do a flow series with bumping music, and we get great abs, and we look really hot. We have what we call a yoga body now, right, in the West. Yoga is so much more than that. Yoga means union with the self and the soul, union with the higher self and the lower self. And it's a beautiful philosophy, and there's so many different kinds of yoga, you know, Iyengar, Ashtanga, goes on and on. And with meditation, it's the same. And there are so many extraordinary kinds of meditation, breathing techniques, visualizations. And what I want to say is that if you find something and it works for you, stick with it. And then your next step will evolve on its own. And I teach meditation. I do one-on-one meditation. I lead classes in meditation. If you're ever interested, please throw me an email. I can teach over Skype, over the phone. It's just the number one. It's the number one thing in my life. I have so many eggs in that basket. I can't even tell you. It's changed my life, and I started when I was very, very young.
Now I have to ask you a question. Do you find that your experiences in the fact that you've been to to India so many times, it's like a country that's so full of history and culture. And it's funny because a lot of times, you know, because I studied like ethics and theology at school. And so, you know, part of what I was learning was like, you know, you learn about different cultures and their religions and stuff like that. And a lot of the times when you think of like, Buddhism and stuff like that, and people sometimes they think of Asia, but they think more around like China based and that kind of stuff, you know, they think more of the oriental side of things, and they don't realize that, like, you know, the first person to be enlightened was actually an Indian prince. You know, that country has so much history. Do you find that being there, do you feel that walking around with people who don't have half the time anything, but they are alive and they are grateful and they are living and don't complain as much as we do. Mm-hmm. Do you find that that somehow has given you, I don't know, an extra kind of like spirituality that you can now bring to the table with regards to you know, to being a psychologist and realizing how the brain, how people think about things and different situations, etc.?
Oh man, it has given me so much that unfolds every day. And you know, I went to these places over long periods of time. So not just like one boom, 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 in 3 years I went five times, you know, it was like over the course of time. So I kept getting a dose of it and a deeper dose of it. And every time I went, it was in a very spiritual context. So, you know, I travel all the way there to go to the Kumbh Mela, which is the largest spiritual gathering on earth, 70 million pilgrims. You can see it from space. And I would live there for 3 months in the sand in the tent, meditating with my guru and meeting all of these masters and different yogis and different spiritual teachers and sadhus and all this kind of stuff. So I remember one time, which I think can kind of answer your question, one time I was a personal assistant to my teacher at the time, and we were leaving the encampment in a car that we had to go into town to get something, and we were on our way out, which took hours because of all the people and everything. And we were on our way out, and we passed this slum, just ripped, shaggy, rotting canvas cloths as tarps, and people living and cooking under these tarps. And these were many of the pilgrims that had come from their own slums all the way to the Kumbh Mela to be there at this big holy gathering. And you know, I was way in the back seat and, you know, kind of tending to my list of to-dos as an assistant. And I looked up and I couldn't help myself. And I said, you know, what is the purpose? What are these people bringing? Are they suffering? You know, like, what do we do? Are they suffering? Are they in want? You know, like, how do we serve these people? My teacher told me and said, many of them are enlightened, and they live with nothing, and they're just here to bring bliss and light to the planet. That's their purpose. And now we're not saying all of them, right? Like, this isn't a sweeping statement, but it was a really precious moment for me because it changed my perspective and understanding of purpose and human priorities in that instance. I've never been able to see it the same since that moment. And, you know, growing up in the West where there's just, you know, we're ruled by materialism. I enjoy this world, right? So it brings us back to that, to the phrase, be in this world but not of this world, meaning don't let these things rule you. And, you know, when we drive our companies forward, because I have a company, Oakley Ogden LLC, like I'm inside of driving it forward. I'm inside of building it. You know, all the whole lineage of that I come from are entrepreneurs. My dad, my brother, my grandfather, my grandmother, my mother, everybody's an entrepreneur. And coming from that lineage and learning, stepping into this spiritual path, at the same time being in the world, building a company, making money, going on awesome vacations, you know, like enjoying material life, I've learned that in order to really be successful, we can create a context around what we choose to experience and what we want to contribute to this world. And quite often, in all honesty, the money follows. And so to take money off the pedestal and say, I'm going to drive this forward. It's all about creating change, contribution, expansiveness, and these sorts of things that satisfy me on a really deep level. And that's just how I'm wired, right? So I just got to know myself and I named it. And the money follows. So, yeah, it's my trips there and touching so deeply into those lives of over in the East, you know, having very dear Indian friends over there that practice very, very deep practices I've been humbled, and I've learned a lot. Absolutely.
Beautiful. We have to go to a very quick commercial break, but I'm going to give out the phone number for you here, ladies and gentlemen, for our studio. It's 631-257-5704. Again, 631-257-5704 if you do have any questions for Oakley. Stay tuned. We'll be back very shortly.
The next step to following your dreams is closer than you think. KDMA and the Actors Studio is an established, reputable talent management and services agency based on the East Coast. Actors, models, singers, voiceover artists, and live entertainers trust their careers with KDMA. Not only does KDMA advise and market talent, they provide talent with the necessary tools to be successful in today's demanding entertainment industry, offering in-house classes, coaching, photo and video services, reel and audio production, showcases, seminars, and more. KDMA makes talent development and advancement simple and affordable. For more information about talent representation and services at KDMA and the Actors Studio, visit KDMAandTheActorsStudio.com. That's KDMAandTheActorsStudio.com. Let KDMA take your career to the next level.
Empire Broadcasting presents The Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Empire Broadcasting. I'm your host, Muriel Donnelly, and this afternoon we have the wonderful Oakley Ogden with us. We have a caller that's just come in, so I'm very interested to see what this person has for Oakley today. Hello, caller. What's your name and what is your question for Oakley?
Hi, my name is Justin Moore. I'm from Pennsylvania. And the question I have is I just want to say my family is very old school. My baby brother is gay. And he's mortified of, you know, telling my parents because he's afraid that they will disown him. Is there anything that I could do or say?
And you're the older brother?
Yes.
And how long has he known? How long has he been out to you?
To me, himself? Mm-hmm. It's been about like a year.
It's been a year? Can I ask how old he is?
How old he is?
Mm-hmm.
He's 14.
Oh, he's young.
Yeah, he's very young.
The number one most important thing, Justin, is that he knows that you love and accept him. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. So just,
you can be the example of what it feels like to be loved and accepted when you have to tell a truth about yourself that maybe feels so scary that it would threaten the love that you depend on from your parents or friends or lovers.
So he should just be straightforward.
That's it. So he should be straightforward. Are you saying that with his parents?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's not what I said, but if that's what you heard, I think, first of all, you sit with him. Okay, because he's young. He's figuring out who he is. So he knows he's gay, and he still has a lot of development to do just on a personality level. Hormones are still changing, all of these kinds of things, right? So it's a scary, scary time because he's still very dependent on his parents. And how old are you?
I'm 17.
You're 17. So first things first, you ask him to come into your room, and you sit down, and you say, I just want you to know that I'm so grateful to you. I'm so grateful that you're my little brother. Listen very carefully to what I'm saying. I'm so grateful that you're my little brother.
Uh-huh.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm grateful that he's my little brother.
That's it. Now, there's a deep healing in this. These are very powerful words that I'm giving you, and it's not going to totally make sense because it sounds so simple, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You sit down, you say, I love you no matter what.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because it sounds like you really care about him, just you making this phone call on his behalf. I mean, you're an extraordinary young man. Thank you so much for taking a stand for your little brother like that.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I can really tell how much you love him. So reinforce that with him first. And then I think if he needs, if he needs that kind of support, I really do want to say that that might be a little bit of a longer conversation. If you feel to send me an email, oakley@oakleyogden.com, I'd be happy to talk to your little brother or talk to you a little bit more about this, because, you know, they're really, it's important to set up the right environment and, you know, create a structure of support so that he feels that he's really supported going into having that conversation with his mom and dad.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but you're the number one example right now of that love and acceptance. And if he knows that, he'll find that strength inside of himself as he grows older, you know, especially with such a conservative family. But what a blessed time that he's in right now to have, you know, so many people out. You know, there's so many different support groups, different groups that he can get involved in, that he can find support. Make a lot of different phone calls on his behalf.
Yeah, I'll definitely tell him that, you know, about that stuff too.
Reach out. You know, if he can find a support group that, you know, maybe you can go with him, you can drive him there, and you guys can go together, you know, and ask, you know, how did you come out to a family that's really conservative, and what are the things that we want to say, and, you know, he's so young that
As long as he gets to talk about it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think he needs to practice talking about it, you know?
Yeah. All right, thank you so much.
You're so welcome, and I'm here for you.
All right, thank you so much. I'll definitely email
you
once I get through.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, bye.
You're welcome.
Wow. Well, for everyone else that's listening out there, let me just go over and give you the contact details for Oakley. You can go and have a look at her website, which is OakleyOgden.com. And as she said, you know, if you need to email her, then the address is Oakley@OakleyOgden.com, or give her a buzz anytime at 720-663-9056. Crazy how you know things are, Oakley, and you know, I think that when you were talking basically just before about enlightenment and etc., and I think basically being able to find enlightenment for people, I think one of the biggest ways is basically being able to accepting everybody, however they are. Because I have to say, I'm born and raised a devout Catholic. You know, went to convent school, la la la, and I have to say that I know all the things that I'm supposed to believe in and all the things that I'm supposed to put aside. But the one thing I have to say is God doesn't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know what I mean?
Absolutely. That's such a beautiful way to say it. I have nothing to add to enlightenment is full acceptance of self and others. I mean, really, what else could we strive for except being that huge open space of acceptance of one another and knowing that God doesn't make mistakes? I mean, that's it. And that ultimately puts our faith in something that we're all made of, that we're all connected by, and that is bigger than all of us. You know, so well said, Muriel.
I think it's my fifth session with you that's working. I want to find out for the new year for everyone now. You did say about meditation, and I think this is something that maybe we can share with people. If you can give us an idea, because I do yoga when and where I can. But, you know, if you can, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Can you just very quickly help us, tell us what we can do when we're going crazy out of our minds, overwhelmed, angry, etc.? What can we do?
So remember that meditation is like going to the gym, right? The first time you go to the gym, you're not going to have that like poolside body right away. You've got to keep going. So it's money in the bank here. So you put your little moments away over and over, and it adds up, and you begin to experience the fruits of your labor. That's meditation. It is the long-term process. So number one is meditation. You just take a breath. Take a breath and come back to the moment. Inhaling, pausing, exhaling. And do it a couple times. And remember that you have choice in that moment. even though you're reacting and you're overwhelmed and you feel crazed, just take a breath. The breath brings us back to the present moment. There's so much wisdom and knowledge and writings on the breath and the power of the breath. And I think sometimes we don't really buy it because it's so dang simple. Number one, come back to the breath. Number two, create just a couple moments for yourself in the day, whether it's in the morning, afternoon, evening, even 3 minutes. I've been meditating since I was a teenager. Nobody taught me. I just started. Then I found teachers, and I deepened in my practice. I learned different techniques. But when I began, I would just sit quietly, and I would breathe in, and I would breathe out, and I would just watch what came up. I would just be with myself. You know, that's what we're trying to promote here, are moments where we're just being with ourselves. And it can be blissful, it can be not easy, but we have to learn about ourselves in order to evolve. You know, and I promise that nothing's in there that one of us can't handle. Nothing's going to come up that you can't handle, that you don't have the grace and the grit and the wisdom deep down inside to confront. And under all of it is something more beautiful than you could ever know. So take a moment every day. Just breathe. Just come up with a little mantra, whatever it is. Today I choose to accept all that arises in me. I am a space of love and acceptance. You know, to make up a little mantra for yourself. I did this years ago when I was 18 years old. I was done with high school, and I started running competitively and, you know, would go on these long, long runs. And I'd come up with these three words, you know, that I knew I had to work on. I remember jogging, you know, I was like on mile 7, and I was just saying, like, strength, patience, love, strength, patience, love, strength, patience, love. And I would just run for miles repeating this to myself. So choose something inside, take a breath, and come back to that. Keep it very simple in the beginning. Let's not go crazy. You don't need to jump into the 110-degree, you know, Bikram yoga class right now.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I think that's a great idea. Start small and work your way up. We've actually come to the end of our show, ladies and gentlemen, but just to let you know, our guest this afternoon has been Oakley Ogden. And again, I'm going to give you her website, which is www.oakleyogden.com, and her email address is oakley@oakleyogden.com. And she is the owner and psychotherapist at Oakley Ogden LLC. Her number is 720-663-9056. Oakley, absolute pleasure as always. I cannot wait until we have our sixth session. I already know what I'm going to talk about, so it's going to be good. Thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. I wish you a wonderful, wonderful new year, and I cannot wait to have you back next week. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Marielle. I'll talk to you in 2017.
Thank you. Yay.
All right. Bye.
Empire Broadcasting presents the Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. Exclusive.
They'll challenge your authority. They'll try to break your will. They'll push you to the edge of your sanity, because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory, not theirs. Defend it. Who makes the payments? Who cleans it? Who drives it? You do. That's who. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch. Until you hear that click. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.